That are in Zoom, you can see the group that we have here at church, and also those that are actually already connected through YouTube. We have a pretty good group here. How many of you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I know little by little, right? Little by little, we'll be go back where we've always been. Believe it or not, it has been a whole year, more than a year now. I know it hasn't been easy for many of you. It hasn't been easy for me as well. Let me share that with you. You know, I belong with the people. I belong among the people. And some of you that know me very well, I like to fellowship with people. It's not the same. It's not the same being on the screen, right? I don't know about you, but I'm tired. I'm tired looking at the screen. Well, I'm tired looking at you on the screen, by the way. You know, I see David. I see Linda here. I see all the smiles. I see people live, I could say. Praise the Lord for that. But until then,
amen.
We're going to continue praying. I know we cannot enforce on people. We cannot obligate people to come. But I want to praise the Lord and thanks the Lord because we have a pretty good team here. Volunteers, people that you might not see because they're always behind the scenes, right? We have volunteers at the beginning. For those that came here earlier, we have like a pretty good team outside making sure that everything is accordingly, checking temperatures and make sure everybody's wearing a mask, that the seats, the pews are ready. Sam is always ready, you know, behind the green room over there. He's always on his green room. It's good to see Sam over there through the window, making sure that everybody who is at home is able to see this program as well. Before I begin the message for this morning, I just want to let you know that besides all the announcements that were made, thank you, Sister Robin, for those announcements, there is one more announcement. How many of you have been part of that Acts 20:21 with the "it is written"? How many of you? The majority. I don't know if some of you have maybe don't remember specific about the journey that we began actually October of last year. Okay? The last series that we had was about what? Prayer. Pretty sure you enjoy that one. Now there is a new series coming. And that will be in April 23rd through the 29th. So you don't want to miss that. How, if some of you already have registered to those series, I'm pretty sure you have been getting the emails from either our church or from the It Is Written. You've probably been getting, you know, those emails, reminders about this new series. And this new series is all about health. So you don't want to miss this one. There's going to be like 7 presentations. The series is titled Next Level Health. We need health, right? Health is important. So you don't want to miss this series as it's going to be presented by Pastor Brasho. So you don't want to miss this. If you don't know yet about this, you could visit our website, our church website, San Jose Central, SDA.org. The first thing that you're going to see there is, besides the logo of the church, you will see this Next Level series with the picture of Pastor Brasho. You click on it, and it's just simple. When you click on it, you say that you want to register for that. It will take you to this like other screen, and just click on register, and all you have to do is give your name and email, and that's all you have to do. If you had already registered, it will tell you you had already been registered with the other series as well. The good thing about this is that starting next week, you'll be getting one email every week to remind you about. And one day before the series begin, you will get another email. And then every day, like an hour, 2 hours before the presentation is live, you'll be getting another reminder so that you could watch the presentation live. And if you're not going to be able to see it live, guess what? If you had already registered, you could always go back and you will have access to see the presentation again. Okay? So it's important then for all of you to register. Next Level Health, April 23rd through the 29th. Okay. What is celebrated during this week? Well, especially this weekend. You know, Christianity all over the world celebrates what? Easter. What is Easter? What's that all about? What's that all about? What's Easter all about? It's about the story, right? Of what? The passion of Jesus Christ. It's about the crucifixion. It's about the resurrection. But my question to you is, how many times have you seen this story? How many times have you probably watched it? We just saw it with the kids, right? Story. We saw the whole, you know, like in maybe 5 minutes, we saw the whole story. What the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection is all about. You might see it every year around this time. And you probably will see it every year until Jesus comes. Some of us probably see it every week. Some of us maybe remember about the story about the crucifixion, the resurrection, maybe every day. But let me tell you, and I want to be honest with all of you. I want to be honest. It doesn't matter how many times you see the story. It doesn't matter how many times you read it. If there is no change in your life. See, it's not about seeing the story. It's not about reading the story. It's about what you're going to do. It's about what does that to you in your life. What the difference is. And if you are willing, right? If you are willing as well to make a difference. So, to date, even though I will touch a little bit about the story, but today I wanted it to be about us. How about that? Okay? Because remember, even if it is about us, it's about who? It's about God. Because if we talk about us, we need to talk about who? About the Creator. About Jesus. But I want to give it a different perspective about that story. Because I could read all over again, you know, about the story. You could go to the Gospels and read about the story. But I wanna bring a different perspective about this story. That's what the title is: The One Who Loves Give the Best. The One Who Loves Give the Best. We know for a fact that if I just give you the title, the first thing that comes in your mind, the first thing that comes into your heart is what? Oh, we're going to talk about who? About Jesus. We're going to talk about God, because He is the greatest God that loves the world. Yes or no? And yes, He is the greatest giver as well. But how about us? Can we become the best lovers? Can we become the best givers as well? Well, let me bring you to Leviticus. Real quick. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. Look at what the Bible says. And all the tithe of the land. Some versions, you know, might read differently, okay? But mine says, and all of the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is whose? The Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we want to ask, Lord, that you give us a desire, Father, to spend some time with you in reading the Word, the Holy Scripture, Father. I want to ask, Father, that we give a list this time, maybe this 30 minutes, of our devotion to you, spending time, Father, hearing your voice. Thank you for everything that you have done for us. And we thank you as well for what you will do. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. There's a story told about this little boy. This little boy was coming, you know, to the table that was ready for dinner. You know, he saw, you know, everything that his mom has prepared for that specific dinner. So as he sat there, he started collecting the best of the meat from the hen or the chicken. So he started collecting the best pieces. The mom actually looked at him and asked him and said, "What are you doing?" So the little boy, ashamed, said, "Well, I'm collecting some of the meat for my dog, Blue." So the mom said, "Don't worry about the dog. I will take care of the dog. Make sure you eat." So after dinner, you know, when everything was putting away, the mom started collecting, you know, the leftovers from the plate. And she gathered, you know, all those leftovers and she gave it to the little boy and said, "This is for your dog, Blue." So the little boy reached, and as he grabbed with that, you know, I would probably say, you know, with that, I don't know if you've seen, you know, a little boy with that sadness in his face, he went out to the backyard and called his dog Blue. And with sadness, he reached out to him and said, "Blue, I was preparing a great offering for you, but my mom sent you collection, the leftovers." You know, we could learn a lot about this story. If you pay attention or if you, in a way, analyze it, we could learn a lot from this story. One thing that we could learn and we could appreciate about life is that love always gives the best. Yes or no? Love always gives the best. See, no matter what that reason is, no matter what that project or the institution, no matter what the person is, we always give our best when we have interest. Yes or no? When we have interest, we always give the best. And we give without loving, but we cannot give. I'll probably put it this way so that you could understand a little better. Okay? We can give with loving, right? But we cannot love without given. Let me repeat that again. We can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. Very interesting. So each of us who had ever contributed, and I don't know if you have something, something that is actually maybe like, you know, honorable or worthy, we sometimes ask ourselves, and I don't know if that had happened to you, but it had happened to me sometimes. We ask the question, how much should I give? Have that ever happened to you? How much should I give? Or anyone who has ever put anything maybe in an offering plate or something like that, they might ask the question, what should I put there or why should I give to God or to the church? And beyond that, Because God not only demands, or God not only asks us to return the tithes or offerings, but God also demands us to give him time. Amen? And sometimes when we want to give time to the Lord, we ask sometimes, oh, how much time should I give him? How much time should I spend reading the Word of God? Or how long should I be on my knees praying to God? Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever asked that question? Many times our giving has little to do with love. And sometimes we give out of a sense because we feel obligated. Or because we think that it is a duty for us to give. We give not because we want to give, but because we are expected to. And sometimes we give out of fear. How many of you have give because you fear? Some people give because they fear that if they don't, God will withdraw the blessings from them. And some people think that if they don't give, they will start to have bad luck. But let me remind you, as Christians, guess what? We don't believe in luck. We believe in God. Amen? See, we don't believe in luck. As Christians, we believe in God. So the act of giving does not constitute an insurance policy. Right? That we invest. It's not. It's not an insurance policy. We do not give because we are trying to maintain, you know, that streak of good luck, because we don't believe in luck, because we believe in God. We do not give because we are trying to secure God's blessing or favor. And I will say something beyond that. You know that God's favor is not for sale. Did you know that? But yet, sometimes we think that we could buy God's favor. But God's favor is not for sale. And even if it is for sale, my brothers and sisters, friend, we don't have enough money to afford it, to buy his favor. We don't have enough to be able to afford or to be able to purchase God's favor for us. We don't give because we try to buy from God, but because we love God and love him enough to give him the best. That's why we give. And sometimes we give because we expect to receive something in return. Because we believe that if we take care of God, then God will take care of us. Sometimes that's what we think, that we should give. We believe that if we give to God, then God will give us his blessings. Or maybe the main reason for giving should not be that by giving to God, we are investing in something that pays huge dividends or even profits. Or even benefits. See, we don't give for those kind of reasons. See, God and the church are not business investments in which we put money to profit for ourselves. Our motivation to give should not be a selfish desire to receive in exchange for something greater than what we have given. So, the question is, how should we give? See, whether God blesses us in the way we want to or not, we should always give with the desire of our hearts. That's what actually God wants. So in other words, we give not because of what we expect in return, but because we love God and because we love him enough to give him our very best. Let me tell you that first comes love, then comes give. First comes what? Love. See, some people think that the biblical concept of giving is rigid. It's maybe difficult. And for some, it might be like a sacrifice or so demanding that it becomes very stressful. See, the minimum amount that the Bible considers should be given may seem like too much for so many people. And for others, it may seem like a great sacrifice. Now, how can we put a price on love? How? Love is priceless, right? Love has no price. In other words, yet love can be demanding because it comes at a cost. See, anyone who tries to always give the least does not love. Because even when we love God, or even when we love a friend, even when you love your spouse, or even when you love your children, or even when you love your friends, or when you love your neighbors, or even when you love your enemies, love requires the most, not the minimum. That's what the Word of God asks us to, right? That's what it says. And this is why we must truly love God to give with the right spirit. For some, returning tithes and offerings require a certain level of generosity, with good spirit, or a commitment that can be acquired only through love. And that we know, all of us who has been given, we know that it requires a generous heart to be able to give. Now, instead of asking, can I afford to give? Perhaps we should ask, do I love my God enough to give him the best of myself? Do I love God enough to give the best of my treasures? Do I love God enough to give him the best of my talents? Do I love God enough to give the best of my time? Do I love God enough to give the best of my devotion? The best of my service? See, God requires the best. Do I love God enough to give him what he asked me to give? Do I love God enough to give my life to him? See, when we give out a sense of duty, we say, I give because I must give. When we give out of fear, we say, I give because it is better that I give. When we give because we expect something in return, we say, I give because it suits me. But when we give because we love, we say, I give because I desire to give. I give because this person, I give because this God, I give because this church, I give because this cause, I give because this means a lot to me. And that's how it should always be. You know, sometimes for a lot of people it hurts to give. It hurts. But I will tell you this morning that yes, it should hurt you. But it should hurt you when you cannot give. It should not hurt you because you have something to give. It should hurt you because you don't have nothing to give. You know that we believe in the greatest giver, right? And we know that the greatest giver is who? We cannot match God when it comes to generosity. We cannot match God when we talk about giving. We cannot. See, every time when we begin to complain about what or how much God asks of us, we must remember that God does not ask for more than what he had already given to us. Amen? God do not ask what you don't have. God asks what you have. So in other words, God had already given to you what you will give to him. Amen? Let me repeat that again. God had already given you what he asked for you to give to him. So God doesn't demand you to give what you don't have. So we serve a God who gives us the best. Amen? By day, for some of us don't realize how great God is when it comes to generosity. See, by day, God give us the sun. How many of you say amen to that? See, by day, God give us the sun, the best light. See, you cannot shut that light down. Right? You cannot turn it off. So that's why it's what? The best. See, by night, he gave us the best light. At night, God gave us the moon and the stars, the best guides through the darkness. Amen? And when we are thirsty, he gave us the rain. Amen? The best water. And yet, when we long for aesthetics, God gave us a sunrise or a sunset, the best beauty that man could ever imagine. And when we need comfort and strength, God give us the Holy Spirit, the best inspiration. See, God give us the best. We cannot match God. We can't. He is the best, the greatest giver. And when we need a Savior, God gave us the best that he had, Jesus, the begotten Son. With that, man cannot match. As the Holy Scripture said in John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I don't know about you, but if you just read this text, just read it, you might not even understand it. But how many of you have devoted some time? How many of you have given the best time so that you could actually concentrate on these words? Because if you break down word by word, oh, my brothers and sisters, you will see the beauty of this text. This text starts by saying, for God so loved. Remember, first you love and then what? You give. Have you paid attention to that? See, this text, John 3:16, starts by saying, for God so loved. So first, God loved what? The world. And then he says that he gave his only son. So first, love, and then what? Gave. If we break it down, my brothers and sisters, for God, here we had the best lover, amen? For God, the best lover, so loved the world, the greatest amount that he gave, the greatest act, his only begotten son, the greatest gift, that whoever believes, the greatest invitation, in him shall not perish the greatest liberation, but have the greatest security, everlasting life, the best possession that man could ever have. The greatest giver is who? is God. God not only gave us the best, but in Jesus, he gave us the best of the best he had. Can we dare to do less than give him back to God the best of the best that we have? Can we give him the best that we have? Again, I will remind you that we cannot beat God's generosity. God never asks for something until people have been blessed and have received more than they could give. This is the reason why the Ten Commandments, have you ever paid attention how the Ten Commandments begin? If not, I will invite you, go to Exodus chapter 20. If you go to Exodus chapter 20, specific on verse 2, okay, you will read a specific how the Ten Commandments begin. It begins by saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So what do you think about this? What do you think about these words? See, what I take is that it is not only after these words, right, that God asked the children of Israel for obedience by telling us that he has given us. He told the people of Israel that he brought them out, right, of oppression. He brought them out of what? Slavery. It was until then. It was until he gave them that liberation. It was until then he took them away from that and he gave them the best. He said, I will take you out of there and I will give you what? A promised land. A land that is what? Fruitful. And it was until then, after he did that, after that action, after that significance, after that, that it was so valuable for the people. After he gave all that to them, then he asked for obedience. See, God cannot ask you if he hasn't given you something yet. And for this reason, we must understand that our giving has its beginning in gratitude. We give because we have received. We have received blessings, so we give thanks. That is actually the fruit after we receive. You know, there is another story that is told about this poor man who was well known in his town for how generous he was with all the people. And he was poor. But whatever he has, he wanted to share with people. People needed help, he will give them help. People needed something, if he had it, he will give it to them. And someone one day, he approached him and asked and said, hey, aren't you afraid that one of these days you will lose everything? Or if you continue giving, you won't have any more? So the man replied and said, you know what, I'm not afraid. Because I take out one shovel, God takes out one shovel. And guess what? He said, God's shovel is bigger than mine. God's shovel is bigger than mine. And God started shoveling before I did. Isn't that amazing? The God that we serve. See, this man actually discovered that God's shovel is much bigger than ours. Have you ever discovered that? See, he was right. And we should not forget that we cannot beat God's generosity. We cannot match God's blessings. The shovel of God who owns all creatures, who owns all the mountains, and all the valuable riches of this universe is much bigger than ours. God's child who is pleased to give us the kingdom is much larger than ours. The child of God who is able to supply all of our needs according to his riches in his glory is much greater than ours. You see, the child of God who has said in his word that we ask and we will receive, that we seek and we will find, that we knock and it will be opened to us, is much larger than ours. The shovel that is much bigger than ours belongs to the God who says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. So again, my brothers and sisters, the shovel of God who made salvation possible is much larger than ours. Our Calvary, God gave his only son for you and I. We may have given a tenth, but at Calvary, my brothers and sisters and friends, God gave everything. He gave everything. I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, a lot of people, when they come to church, you know, they come and they said, you know, I come to church, but I don't want to hear about money. I don't want to hear about tithes. I don't want to hear about offerings. I don't want to hear about me committing to serving, to serve. I don't want to hear about this and that and that I'm required to do something. All I want is to hear about the gospel. But my brothers and sisters, sometimes people forget. They forget that we cannot talk about the gospel without talking about giving. We can't. How do I know that? Because at the heart of the gospel is a generous God. So if you want to talk about the gospel, you're always going to end up talking about generosity. You're always going to end up talking about giving. Because it was God that gave with great gratitude. It is that gracious God that begin the beautiful story, right? We've been reading in the lesson, the promised. We read today during this week, we study about what? The Garden of Eden, right? The beginning. So it was God who gave this whole world. It was God who created everything. And even at the beginning in the Old Testament, you will learn about this generous God. So you cannot talk about the gospel even in the New Testament. Because then you will come to the story about the Son of Man who gave his life. The generous God who gave his begotten Son. So it's impossible. It's impossible, my brothers and sisters, to leave out the word give. It's impossible. And even yet, right? We're still waiting. Because what is Jesus' promise after he resurrected? What was Jesus' promise after he ascended to heaven? That he is what? What is he doing in heaven? He is what? He is preparing. He's preparing a place for you and I. Even until today, my brothers and sisters, we cannot talk about the gospel without talking about giving. Because God is a generous God, and God is still shoveling for you and I. Amen. The question is, what will I give to God? What will I give to God? The one who loves gives what? The best. The one who loves give his best. The one who loves give her best. The ones that love give their very best. So I don't know about you, but today I have decided to give the best of me to the Lord. Today I have decided that every morning when I wake up, the first time, the first minute, the first second, I will give it to Him. Amen? Today I have decided that I won't complain any longer. How much time do I need to devote in the Word of God, reading it? How much time I will devote in prayer? I will not complain. If I love God, I will give Him the best without complaining. Amen? I will give Him the best. If I serve because God has called me to serve in the various positions within the church or ministries, I will do it because what? I love Him. And I want to give Him the best. Remember, God knows our hearts, right? You cannot impress God, by the way. You cannot impress God. We read in the Bible how many people try to impress God, but they couldn't. They couldn't. You cannot impress God. Give what's best. Give the best that you have. Because at the end of the day, everything belongs to who? It belongs to Him. Whatever He gives you, give it to Him. The one who loves gives the best. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for Your words. Thank You, Father, for the act of giving. Father, it was You. It was You that loved the world since the beginning. It was You that created the universe. And it is You, Lord, that continue giving the best to humanity. Father, impress in our hearts. Give us the desire for us to give the best of us, Lord. Father, it was at Calvary that You gave Your only begotten Son. Yes, the whole world, all the way around, Father, they're listening again about the story, the crucifixion, the story about the resurrection. But yet it will be another story told for many, Father. But they forget the most essential thing. They forget the most important thing. That we need to not just hear the story, but we need to prove and we need to show by our actions, Father, that we are responding to that story. Lord, it's not easy, especially these days. The way we're living now is not easy. Everything is dark. We live in a darker time, Father. And for many of us, the only way to be able to see is if we see Jesus. Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the Holy Spirit, that Comforter that You have left us, Lord. Father, for many people, they think that this is the end. And they'd rather do those things that they were not able to do, Father, rather than devoting time, rather than giving the best to You, Lord. Because as the saying say, the best is yet to come. And it is heaven. Which is pilgrims, Father. We're living in a pilgrimage. That's what the word says. We shouldn't concentrate on the things of this world. We should concentrate on all the things in heaven, because those are eternal. Those are the things that will endure forever. Those are the things that have everlasting. So, Father, as we prepare ourselves, as we continue journeying through the Word, as we continue devoting time on with you, Father, in prayer, let's not forget that you are preparing that place for all of us. And yet, it is about the cross. It is about the crucifixion. It is about the resurrection. But it is also about salvation and about eternal life. So, Father, give us the heart to be able to give everything that we have, to give the best of the best that we have to you. Let us concentrate on those things, Lord. Take away all the weary that we have, all those fears that if we give, we might lose. Or if we give, we might not have. Oh, Father, take that mind away from us. Because if we give everything to you, Father, the Word of God says that you will pour out blessings abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Forgive our sins. And forgive us, Father, if we haven't given you the best of the best that we have. We want to commit to you. And we want to praise you. Because we love you. In Jesus' most precious name, I pray. Amen.